And look, if you will, at verse number 2. There the Bible says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart." This is actually a continuation of the message that I had started this last week, where I preached from the book of Job on the Bible above bread. In the book of Job, chapter number 23 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Amen. And the Bible says in verse number 2 of Deuteronomy chapter number 8, it speaks of a reason why God led them those 40 years in the wilderness. And of course, he fed them with the manna. And both the leading and the feeding, I believe, was to prove the people. Now, the Lord willing, I'll be dealing more with that, but the proving of the people. Earlier, I dealt with a few things this last week. The life of a man is more than his physical life. The spiritual life of man is more important than the physical life of man. Our necessary food comes at the command of God, and it still does. It still does today. We're not having a manna fall from heaven. We're not having quail come from heaven, but our necessary food still comes from God. Man does not live by anything alone and apart from the Word of God. And then number 5, man needs every Word of God. Now let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 8 and look beginning with verse number 1. The Bible says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him." There are several reasons why God gave the people of Israel manna. One of those reasons was so that he might prove the people. Of course, the Bible speaks about in verse number 3, every word. We need every word in the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, quoted from this passage when in Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 4, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. I believe that one of the greatest failures in the Independent Baptist movement over the years has been a failure to preach all of the Word of God, every Word of God. I believe there's been a lack in many churches, even in the Independent Baptist realm, of the thorough preaching of the Word of God. Years ago, there's a man that was attending here. He came here for a while and eventually moved on, and I didn't know just what happened, and I talked to him about it. And the reason he gave, and I really don't think that this was all of it, but still, the reason that he gave was that he had heard me preach on sacrifices in the kingdom. And to him, that was a strange thing, but it's interesting that he went on somewhere else, and he heard the teaching about sacrifices in the kingdom. I don't know what the man's thoughts were. I don't know what his beliefs were. I don't know if he thought perhaps in the Old Testament the sacrifices that were given were at least in part for the payment of sin and for the earning of salvation. But certainly, the Old Testament sacrifices were not a payment for sin. They pointed ahead to Jesus Christ, the great sacrifice, the Lamb of God that was to come. And, of course, in the kingdom time, Ezekiel chapter number 43, if I remember it correctly, in the kingdom time there shall be sacrifices, and they shall point back, as it might be said, to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Have you ever heard a preacher preaching, maybe a very sincere preacher, and the preacher says something, and perhaps you think to yourself, well, if you knew a little more Bible, I don't think you'd have said that. And sometimes God may look down on me, and He may say, if you knew a little more of the Bible, you wouldn't say some of the things that you say. I realize it is a growing process and a learning process as we learn more and more and more about the Word of God. The Bible says in the book of Acts in chapter number 20, verses 26 and 27, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And would a man, would a preacher shun to declare the whole counsel of God? I think sometimes a preacher may actually do that. Shun to give the people the whole counsel of God. There may be different reasons why he does so. Sometimes it might be that the studying of a passage is hard, and therefore he doesn't want to put the time in, the effort in, that he needs to study the passage out and to give what he needs from the passage to the people. Sometimes it might seem as though to him that the passage is archaic, the passage is obsolete, the passage has no practical application to the people, and therefore he refrains from preaching that portion of the Word of God. Sometimes it might be that he feels there are some in the congregation that are not going to be willing to take what he teaches from that particular portion of the Word of God. But if you want to be all you ought to be for God, you need to have every Word of God. Every Word of God is important. Every Word of God is good for us. All Scripture is given by inspiration, and every bit of the Scripture is profitable. Now, I don't claim that I know all of the reasons why God has given us some of the Word of God, but I know this. All of it's right, and every bit of it is profitable for you and I. You might say, well, what about some of those so-and-so begat, so-and-so, and so-and-so begat, so-and-so? Well, so it may help you with your pronunciations. But also, if your name was in there, I think you would think it was important. And I believe once we see the bigger picture, we're going to see some of the importance of some of the things that God has decided to put in the Word of God. You don't have the genealogy of all those people during those time periods, but there were particular ones that I believe God saw fit to put in there, and every bit of the Word of God is good for you. I believe down through the years, even in the independent Baptist realm, there's been that lack of teaching the full Word of God, the whole Word of God to people. And through that lack of teaching, there have been malnourished people that they just simply haven't gotten what they needed from the Word of God. I'm still working on going all the way through, preaching and teaching through every bit of the Word of God. I'm quite a ways through it now, but I'm not completely through yet. But if the Lord allows me to tarry, and by the grace of God, I'll go through every book, teaching and preaching through every book in the Word of God. Every word of the Word of God is important. I came across a testimony a while back of a preacher that had preached at a church, and he told that he preached there for 3 years. And after he preached there for 3 years on a Sunday morning, he told the people that he was resigning because he had told them all he knew. Now, honestly, it may not take me long to tell you all I know, but God knows a whole lot more than I do. And I've been at this for over 40 years now, and I'm not through yet. And God can just keep giving and keep giving and keep giving. The well hasn't run dry yet. There's so much in the Word of God that needs to be preached and taught. By the way, let me say this. Remember when Peter backslid? And the Lord asked him, did he love him? And then he said, feed my sheep and feed my lambs. I think one of the problems of many preachers today is that they really don't love God the way they should. Because I believe when a man loves God and he's put in the position of a pastor, he'll count it as very important to feed the sheep, to feed the lambs. I count that as a very important part of my job, to feed people, spiritually, to feed people. Now, back in verse number 3, the Bible talks about, gives the words, to prove thee. In fact, that's my text, to prove thee. One of the ways that God proved the people was by giving them manna, the bread from heaven, the angels' food that he rained down upon them. If you will, please turn to the book of Exodus in chapter number 16. Exodus chapter number 16. In Exodus 16, of course, we have the teaching of the God-given manna, the instruction for the manna. And in verse number 4, the Bible says, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I would rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I might prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. That's one of the great reasons for the giving of the manna from heaven. And of course, God provided that manna for 40 years. God gave that manna in part to prove the people, would they keep the Word of God or not? Would they do what God said or not? And so we might think about that manna being given and the tests going on as they went through that time in the wilderness, proven by the Word of God. Do you have a Bible in your hands? Do you have a Bible in your home? Do you have some Bible in your heart? Then there are tests going on. What will you do with what you have? So many people do not use the Word of God that they have. They do not study the Bible that they have. They don't read the Bible that they have. And they don't apply the Bible that they have. God has given us the Word of God and so freely given us the Word of God. But God is testing us. What will we do with the Word of God? Let's go to the book of Exodus 16. I want to make some application here. Look, if you will, at verse number 15. The Bible says, and when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat, spiritual bread for you to eat. And so we might consider the first test. Would they gratefully gather and partake of what God had given them? Would they gratefully gather and partake of what God had given them? Attitude, of course, makes so much of a difference. This was a gift from God. This was bread from heaven. This was angels' food. This is something that the Israelites and their fathers did not even know about, but God rained it down from heaven, freely rained it down from heaven, and would they gratefully gather and partake of what God had given them? The Word of God. Oh, what a precious thing we have in the Bible. What are we doing with it? What is our attitude toward it? Are we grateful to have this book? There have been so many down through the years that have not had the whole Word of God, or that have had the Word of God, but there have been great persecution if they held to the Word of God. And recently in this country, of course, there's been so much freedom and there's been such an abundance of the copies of the Word of God. Are you gratefully gathering? Are you gratefully partaking from the Word of God that God has freely given you? Bread from heaven. The Word of God. You just think about that. The Word of God. This is God's Word. Are you grateful to have it? I believe that a right attitude can make a great difference in how you approach it and how you use it. Then number two. Would the fathers faithfully gather for their families? Look in verse number 16. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating. An omer for every man according to the manner or number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. Now, of course, the Lord knew situations where there was no husband perhaps in the family, no father in the family. But it seems that there was a special emphasis placed upon, and there was a responsibility placed upon the men to take for those that were in their tents. I believe there's been a great failure among many independent Baptists in our day where the fathers are not gathering from the Word of God to give to their families. One of the things that it might surprise you sometime is if you're in conversation and you ask, do you have family devotions? Do you gather together and read and study the Bible together? Do you have some kind of a time where perhaps you gather together and you're listening to some preaching or something where on a regular basis, night after night, you're learning from the Word of God? If you do it regularly, then it might be that just in your conversation, you will, just in a casual sense, mention, well, we were in our Bible study and this came up and this was discussed. And then if you ask somebody, just in casual conversation, somebody that's saved and you feel as though they're faithful to the Lord, if you ask another, a man ask a man, well, what about you folks? What are you studying? Or what have you learned? Or what have you been dealing with from the Word of God? You may find that in so many families, the fathers are not taking the time to provide for the families from the Word of God. The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. One of the ways to come to the point that you freely and regularly talk about the Bible in the home is by having a regular Bible time. Maybe every evening. In some cases, people may do it right after breakfast, or in different schedules can call for different things, but still, having a regular Bible time. And I believe it is good for a father to lead in a regular Bible time. Then number three. Would the people gather enough? The manna was a test. Would the people gather enough? Notice, if you will, verses 17 and 18. And the children of Israel did so and gathered, some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack, and they gathered every man according to his eating. If you'll gather what you should, then you'll have all that you need. I'm not going to try to set it for everybody. Here's how much you need from the Word of God. It can vary. It may vary from time to time. God may lay on your heart that this is an amount that you ought to be reading. And I realize sometimes there can be disruptions in life, but still, God may lay it upon your heart to have a regiment. This is what I'm reading. However God leads you, if you gather what you should, you'll have what you need. One of those things, of course, is between you and God. And it might be over time you'll find out that you need more. And God leads you to gather more from the Word of God. But you just do what God says to you in this particular area. Then as far as these tests are concerned, would they use what they gathered? Notice, if you will, beginning with verse number 19. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. Would they use what they gathered? It's one thing to gather it, it's another thing to partake of it. In their cases, imagine some of those people perhaps gathering more than they thought that they needed. Some of them may have thought, well, I'll save a little bit just in case. I need some later. Whatever the reason, imagine people gathering but not partaking of what they have gathered. And therefore, it breeding worms and stinking. I believe that God made the manna to do so. I believe that God said it so that when a person did not use what he gathered, it would spoil. Now, the Word of God is not going to spoil. But still, I believe there could be some very adverse effects when a person takes from the Word of God, he hears the Word of God, he knows what he ought to do according to the Word of God, and he refuses to do what he ought to do, he neglects to do what he ought to do. I believe that there could be some very adverse effects from it. In the book of James, James chapter number 1, verse number 22, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. In verse number 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Sometimes people may take the Word of God. It can be like a person looking into that looking glass, as it might be said, and seeing himself, and perhaps seeing that he's got some dirt on his face. Remember the laver in the Old Testament? The laver was made of the looking glasses of the women. The Word of God can help us to see ourselves when we look into it. And the Word of God can help us to cleanse ourselves as well. And so, when we look into the Word of God and we see that we've got some problems, we should go ahead and respond as God would have us to respond. But when we look in the Word of God and we see some things that we need to do and we refuse to do what God says, then shouldn't we expect our Father to deal with us? When our Father has told us to do something, and we refuse to do it? Now, don't you understand that in a household that could be grounds for punishment? And if we have taken the Word of God and not made an application of it to our lives, don't you think that would be grounds for some chastisement? I preached on this in the past. Do everything that you need to do to be a doer of the Word. Do everything that you need to do to be a doer of the Word. That might mean that you have to abstain from something. It might be that you have to change things somehow, but still, do everything that you need to do in order to be a doer of the Word. God says do it. You make a way to get it done by the grace of God. And then let me say as well, as far as these tests are concerned. Would they gather it when they should? In verse number 21. The Bible says, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. It's interesting that the people of Israel were out there in that desert. And out there in that desert, of course, many of them may have fallen into a situation where they just felt like, I don't have to get up, I don't have to do anything. And many of them may have thought, I'll just go outside, I'll get some manna, and I'll partake of some quail, and I'll lay around the tent. I got nothing to do, I got no job to go to, I got no real responsibilities. I believe that one of the reasons why God gave the manna was it put those people on a schedule. They had to get up and get that manna before it melted away. And some of those people might have not otherwise gotten up and gotten going, but still, if they didn't get that manna, it would melt away. They weren't supposed to get any more than they should. And therefore, I believe it helped to put the people on a schedule, a daily schedule, and a weekly schedule. Because, of course, they were to gather before the Sabbath day. And so, if they've been just left out there, provided for, and just left out there to do anything they want, some of them may have forgotten what day it was. They just may have had no schedule whatsoever. I believe by using the manna, God put them on a schedule. Now, as far as the reading the Word of God, partaking of the Word of God when you should, do you have a time? Do you have a regimen of the partaking of the Word of God? If you just leave this to just whenever I get ready to, I'll just read some of the Word of God, then you just may not get to it. When the heat of the day came, the manna melted away. And when there's the, as it might be said, the heat of the activities, when things are going on, you may find that I just don't have time to stop and read the Word of God. And so it's good to have a time, a regimen, that this is when I read. And then, would they gather for the Sabbath? Notice in beginning of verse number 22, and it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers, for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said, this is that which the Lord had said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up until the morning. And Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. Then notice, if you will, beginning with verse number 27. There the Bible says, and it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? Now, of course, the Lord gave them a schedule, as it might be said, through the giving of manna, not only daily but weekly, and they were to gather for the Sabbath. Do you ever make any spiritual preparation for the Lord's Day? Do you ever try to get ready? I'm talking about spiritually speaking. I think it'd be good to, in my case, I may try to have some my boots out, my socks out, and my clothes out, and so on. But what about spiritually? Do we make any preparation for the Lord's Day? I think perhaps if we made preparation for the Lord's Day spiritually, we could be much more ready to accept, to receive from the Word of God what we needed to receive from the Word of God. I read something recently, and I do think that this is a danger. But this idea that this is the weekend, it's not the weekend. Saturday, that's a weekend. Today is the first day of the week. But with this idea of this being the weekend, which of course that's normally what is considered, this can end up being just another day. A day to just catch up and just do whatever. This can be considered just another day that you go about your regular business and you're getting geared up for Monday. Well, what about getting ready for Sunday? Getting ready for Sunday spiritually so you are ready to receive from God. You know, if we were more ready to receive from God, we may have many more testimonies. Through the reading of the Word of God, we were preparing for Sunday. There may be a lot more testimonies like this. Well, I was reading my Bible this week, and I found this. I noticed this. I never noticed this before. I found this in the Word of God. We don't have a big problem with folks talking about ball games here. But if the people were really prepared by the reading, the studying of the Word of God, spiritually prepared, then that could be a real focus. The Word of God, the Word of God. Even in our conversation, our fellowship together, the Word of God. And then, would the people be satisfied? Test for the people of Israel. Would the people be satisfied with the bread that God had given them? Notice verse number 31. Once again, Exodus chapter number 16. And verse number 31. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed white. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Bread from heaven, angels' food. I believe it's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing to eat out there in that desert, to be eating that bread from heaven. But I want to go to another scripture. If you will, go to Numbers chapter number 11. Numbers 11. Notice beginning with verse number 4. The Bible says, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. There's a problem right there. Fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, and the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. I imagine they did remember. Back when they were in Egypt, they may have been saying things like, I'm so sick of fish. We're right here at the Nile, fish, fish, fish. Onions, leek, garlic. I'm ready for some steak. But when they got away from it, they spoke as though they remembered the fish and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Beginning verse number 6. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in meals, or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. Now when God gave it, the taste of it was like honey. But then they took it, had a lustful attitude. They beat it. They ground it. They manipulated it, as it might be said. And the taste of it was as fresh oil. Sometimes a person may take the Word of God and he may criticize it, and he may act as though the parts of it are not true, and he may try to reinterpret it. He may change it, seek to change it. And then it may seem as though that it doesn't have the sweetness it used to have. If you'll accept the Word of God as it is, believingly, it can be sweet to you. Sweeter than honey. But so often people are skeptical of it, critical of it, and in their beating it and grinding it, and then finally what they have, they say, well, this is like the taste of fresh oil. Which would you rather have? Wafers that taste like honey or wafers that taste like cooking oil? I think I'd rather have the ones that taste like honey. And then, let's go even farther. Over in the book of Numbers, in chapter number 21. Numbers chapter 21. I don't believe God changed the recipe, do you? I think they changed. And I think they try to change it, the manna. Numbers chapter 21, beginning with verse number 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Think of it. Bread from heaven, angels' food. And they said, our soul loatheth this light bread. At one point they may have thought, this is so wonderful, this bread floating down from heaven. Like a snow falling upon the ground, they go out and gather it up, sweet. And then there was a stage, it's like the taste of fresh oil. And then the stage of loathing the manna that God had given them. Do you realize that God is gathering evidence? God is gathering evidence for the judgment seat. In fact, there'll be witnesses. It'll be different for those of us that are saved. I won't go to the judgment seat to be punished. But still, all things will come out. All things will come to light. And I believe it'll come to light what I did with the book God gave me. Did I love it? Did I live by it? Did I count it as a precious and a pure thing? What did I do with the book God gave me? We can come to the point where not only do we not like the Word of God, a person in rebellion comes to the point where he loathes the Word of God. He doesn't want that. It opposes the way he wants to live. These attitudes toward the Word of God, our treatment of the Word of God, our application of the Word of God, have we regularly gathered the Word of God as we should? Have we faithfully applied the Word of God as we should? All these things are going to come out at the judgment. Once again, not for the punishment of the saved, but things will come out. All things will come to light. I believe in the case of the lost are going to tend to argue against God. And I believe there's evidence of that. Matthew chapter number 7. And I believe that there shall be witnesses called against lost people when the saved come before the judgment. I believe that we'll agree with God. You're right. I should have read more. I should have studied more. I should have counted it as a precious thing that I had the Word of God. You're right. I neglected it. I failed. If you will, please stand.